Good morning. It is very good to be in God's house. If you are younger than 13, I guess, you're welcome to go to Children's Church. We have a great program back there. I have some ladies who'll take care of everything, and I know you'll have a good time. Much better than standing out here listening to me. The title of this morning's sermon is Attitude Matters. And I have found throughout my life that that is more important than perhaps anything else we can do personally, is we can have an attitude. Attitude is up to me. There are a lot of external things, there are a lot of things that happen in the world that I am subject to, that I have to deal with, whether I like it or not. And there are things that are outside of my control that I just simply can't do anything about. But I have found that one of the things that I do have control over is my attitude. And I have the ability, especially with the help of God, to get on my knees and pray and to rethink and to refocus my attitude, to get it to where it needs to be. Our scripture this morning is the book of James, chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Is it on the back of the bulletin? I don't know. Oh, here it is. All right. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If you will bow your heads with me for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. I ask, O Lord, that you would take this message, the words of my mouth. I pray that you would take the entire service and use it to your glory and to your service. Help us as your children, as your disciples, to look into your word and to understand what we need for our lives, and then help us to go out, Lord, and live lives in public that reflect your grace and your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible is full of contrast. From Cain and Abel, and we all know the story of Cain and Abel, the first two brothers in the Bible, and one of them was angry and had a very bad attitude. His offering was not accepted. He became angry, and he murdered his brother Abel. To Abram and Lot, if you remember Abram and Lot, and they stood looking at the plain, and Abram said, you make the choice, and you go where you want, and I'll take what's left. And Lot said, oh, I want to go where it's really nice and green, and everything's just perfect, and you can have what's left over. And we see how that came out. King Saul and King David, if you look at the two of them and look at their attitudes and what happened there, you see a great contrast in leadership and a great contrast in attitude. And then Haman and Mordecai, a couple of lesser known characters from the Bible, but I would encourage you to go look them up. Again, a very great contrast in attitude and in will and in what they were trying to accomplish. Surrounding the death and resurrection of Jesus were some of the greatest, starkest contrast that we see throughout the Bible. And we're going to examine two of these this morning, and hopefully with an eye to understanding what our attitude ought to be and how we ought to conduct our lives based on what we have seen written in God's Word. The first two are the disciples Peter and the disciple Judas. You know, we initially, all of us who have grown up in Christianity, know the story of Peter, and we know Judas. We know that Judas betrayed Jesus, and we very rapidly think of those two as being miles apart. But in reality, they had an awful lot in common. Both of them were disciples. Both of them were called by Jesus to be disciples. Both of them witnessed firsthand the miracles, feeding the multitude, raising the dead, healing the sick, causing the blind to see. Both of them saw Jesus cast out demons. And maybe even greater than that, both of them knew Jesus personally and talked with him personally, had a relationship, a straightforward person-to-person type relationship. I've wondered many times in my life what it would be like to be able to sat down across a table or chairs with Jesus himself and be able to ask questions and personally hear his teaching and see him physically accomplish the things that he did. I understand that Jesus is alive and he lives within us. We have the Spirit of God with us. We have the Bible that we read. We have faith and we move forward in that regard. But to see him face to face and to talk with him and to hear his teaching had to be an incredible thing. These two individuals were part of a very small group of people throughout history. There were only 12 men who were selected by Jesus to be disciples. That is a very unique group. That's a very small brotherhood. But they had something else in common. Both of them betrayed Jesus. Matthew 24:14-16 talks about Judas. It says, "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought the opportunity to betray him." Judas, after being with Jesus through all the miracles and all the teachings, literally went to the high priest and sold Son of God in the flesh for 30 pieces of silver. Side note, Judas is evidence that an individual can sit under the greatest preaching that has ever existed, can see the greatest miracles that have ever existed, can be so close to God that he can physically reach out and touch him, and still be so full of Satan that they would sell the Son of God. That is a side for what it's worth. We know Judas betrayed Jesus intentionally, with malice, with forethought. He meant to, he did it for money. He took the opportunity, and we'll see a little later on, he actually went up to Jesus and betrayed him with a kiss and said, this is Jesus, and the guards led him away. Peter also betrayed Jesus. Of all the disciples, Peter is the most prominent. If you see in the Bible a list of disciples, if they're talking about the disciples, Peter is always the first one mentioned. Peter was the one who knew Jesus and was with him all the time. It was Peter who in Matthew 16 stated unequivocally, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Flesh and blood hasn't revealed it to you, but my Father which is in heaven." Yet on the night when Jesus needed Peter the most, he betrayed him. Peter disavowed Jesus. Matthew 26:69-75. "Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him, saying, You also were with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you're saying. And when he had gone out of the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, This fellow also was with Jesus. But again, he denied it with an oath, I do not know the man. And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you. Then he began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know the man. Immediately a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus who had said, Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So he went out and wept bitterly." Peter denying Jesus, I believe, inflicted more pain on Jesus than the Roman soldiers could ever inflict. If you've ever loved someone, and trusted them and put faith in them and had them betray you and turn your back on you. It is a hurt that never heals. It is a wound that is always open. It is, I think, one of the most painful things people can endure in this lifetime, particularly if that is someone that you love and someone that you're close to. You know, I have known of parents betraying their children and doing some horrific things, and it is such a sad thing because children look up to their parents in general, and to break that bond of trust, that bond that that child believes in you, and turn your back on them. In many ways, Peter's betrayal of Jesus was much more painful than Judas's betrayal of Jesus. I have experienced in my life having someone that I trusted and that I loved betray me. And not just betray me, but similar to Peter, say, I don't know him. I'm not related to him. That's not somebody I know. It hurts. It hurts deep. I can't explain how deep that is. What Peter did struck deep with Jesus, and it hurt deeply. So if we look at the two men, they really are very similar, but they have some differences. Let's start with Peter. In many ways, Peter was like a child. He was a true believer and had faith, but sometimes it was not enough. He would step out on the faith as he did in the storm. If you remember the narrative where they were in the ship and Jesus came walking on the waves during a storm, and Peter saw him and said, Lord, bid me to come out to you. And Jesus said, come on. And Peter stepped out on faith, and he got out of the boat and started walking on the water. But then when he saw the wind and the waves, and he got afraid, and he was overwhelmed, and he began to sink, and Jesus had to rescue him. Similarly, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, it was Peter that said, I would never leave you. I will fight to the death. I will take on the entire world. Just a few hours later, again, he became afraid, and he betrayed Jesus. And after he realized what he had done, he went out and wept bitter tears. Peter did betray Jesus, but it was not planned, it was not thought out, it was not premeditated. It was out of fear and out of panic. And I think if there are some lessons that you and I can learn from Peter, it's that we are fallible, that we do make mistakes. I read a story not long ago, a history article, about two men who were in the Hanoi Hilton during Vietnam War. They were prisoners of war. And they developed a Morse code that they could tap on the wall and communicate with each other. And the one said, one of the prisoners had been there the longest, and he said, I was communicating with him, and I told him, I have a confession to make, and after I tell you this, you probably won't want to communicate with me in the future. And he said, I told him, I cracked, and I told them everything I knew to tell them. When they subjected me to torture, I cried like a baby, and I told them everything. And he said, the man replied, we all crack. Let's get on with the war. We're that way as Christians. We've all failed. Don't beat yourself up. If you try, if you believe, if you do what you believe is right, and you get afraid, something happens, or temptation comes along, and you fall, and you do something wrong, get up. Don't let it kill you. Get up, put your faith in Jesus, say, I'm sorry, repent, and keep moving forward. We have a war to fight, and it is war against Satan himself. Judas. Judas was a different character. Judas was a thief. John 12:3-6. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped her feet with her hair. and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, the one who should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. In other words, Judas was holding the money. Judas was the accountant for the group, the treasurer, and he was able to profit off of what was given. And so he was not interested in the poor. He was interested in himself. He was a thief. Judas was the one who manipulated things. Many Bible scholars believe that Judas betrayed Jesus not so much as an act of vengeance or an act of betrayal, but as an act hoping that he might take over. If Jesus were out of the way, maybe he could become the leader of the group. Maybe he could become the one who ran things. Maybe he could gain control. A far, far different attitude. And I guess another kind of side note, we must all be careful of those people who would sink the ship just because they can't be the captain. They're out there, and I'm sorry, that's a reality. The difference of the two men boiled down to attitude, to their attitude. Why we do things matters as much and maybe more than the things we do. If we go out and we do something good to help someone, if we do that with the attitude that we're hoping to get something back, we have killed the validity of what we've done. If you go and you give something, expecting to get something in back, you're not doing charity. You're doing a business transaction. World of difference. The attitude you have when you give, the attitude you have when you believe, the attitude you have when you reach out to people, it is more important even than what you do. The difference between Judas and Peter was attitude. Well, there's a second couple I told you we're going to examine. There were two thieves who were crucified on either side of Jesus. Luke 23:39-43, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed against him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost thou not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Like the disciples, Peter and Jesus, these men were very similar except for their attitude. Both of them were thieves. I don't know what they had stolen or what they had done, but in the ancient world, any serious crime usually resulted in death. If you stole something of great value, you were put to death, and so on and so forth. So we don't know what they had done, but obviously they were guilty and they were being crucified. The one of them saw Jesus only as a possible way off of the cross. And he said, you know, if you're Christ, get us off of here and let's blow this scene. We'll go do something else, right? He made fun of Jesus. He had no grace about him at all. The other saw Jesus as an innocent man. He had the attitude, this is God's son. I'm guilty. He's not. And then his attitude turned to faith. his humility became faith, and he said, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." You and I are like the two thieves on the cross. We are disciples like Peter and Judas, but we are also guilty like the two thieves on the cross. And we are living in a state of death. This world is not going to last a great long time. At least my part of it won't. I have said this before, and one of those kind of morbid statistics that we sometimes have to come face to face with, the average lifespan is 78 years. Looking at my life today, I know that's not a long way off, and I know many of you have already past that average lifespan. I hope you live to be 100. But if you do, that's not very long. I'm 65. If I live to be 100, that's 35 years. 35 years ago seems like yesterday. It went by zip. Our lives are winding down, just like the two thieves on the cross. One of them had the right attitude, and one of them had the wrong attitude. So our question today, what is your attitude? There is not a sin that cannot be forgiven. There is not a wrong that cannot be righted. If you have the right attitude and you put your faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus commanded in John 13, "A new commandment I give you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." God gave us today. He gave us this life. I don't know how long it will last. It may be a long time, but probably not. While I'm here, I'm going to make the most of it. I'm going to spend every day on my knees praying. I'm going to do my best to have the right attitude. And when this life is over, I want to go to heaven shouting. I want to go to heaven saying, "Thank God I'm here. I'm saved. I'm saved. Thank God I'm saved." I want to see my children there. I want to see my parents there. I want to see each one of you there. And we can all do that. But it starts with your attitude. This morning, if our musicians were come, we're going to offer some music and the altars are open. If you need an attitude adjustment, you know, when I was a boy, my parents had a way of doing attitude adjustments, is what they called them. They were very successful, too. Well, today, if you need an attitude adjustment, right here at this altar is the place to do it. If you get on your knees and you ask God to forgive you for whatever wrong it is, whatever you've done, He can change your attitude. He can turn you into the person you ought to be, that you want to be. Please stand.